Blog Talk Radio.
When you meet the elder with a loud voice, you say,
Elder Mr. Tibbs. Yahweh be to that knee right.
And Yahweh bless you, serious brother. See you, boy. Hallelujah. Yahweh.
All right, Dale. Once again, about it, look like the room is jam-packed again. 195 International Country, 162-627 is flashing. So whatever you got to tell this master audience about the broadcast, take the time and come on. You're on the clock. Come on.
Once again, Yahweh bless you, Sir Israel. And thank you for bringing me into tonight's broadcast. Looks like we have another increased number of members that came to hear the words of Yahweh. And that's always a good thing. That number is 162,627 listeners that came to hear the words of Yahweh. Well, only thing I can say about that, I know that the majority is that came, we want to hear something that's worth hearing. And that's always the word of Yahweh. We study one book, one word, to create one understanding, like it tells us in the book of Numbers, chapter 15, verse 16. It should be one law and one manner should be for you and the stranger, so that journey with you. The same thing that we study, we want to give it to someone else, not a different book or not different teachings. Because when you learn, there's only one name that you addressed him by, and that is what we learn here in this particular broadcast. Remember, when you're doing those studies, you have to remember there's a narrow way to righteousness, and that narrow way is described in 2nd Esther, chapter 7, verse 7. 7 says, "The entrance, therefore, is narrow and set in a dangerous place to fall, like that there was fire on the right hand and on the left, deep water." So we have to know, if we keep straight into Yahweh's words, we won't deviate into destruction, because we're not given much leeway, as it tells us in the book of Matthew. Let's see what that says about too much leeway. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 13. 13 says, "Enter ye at the gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go thereat." So you want to make sure that that entranceway is narrow, so you don't have too much leeway to go, especially toward the other teachings. Because those of us that have been taught, we have to be aware by knowing the scriptures and also the Bible precepts. We're given this knowledge to know that those out there, they camouflage their evil or confused teachings, and mostly confused, and overly loud bump the gums contest for their righteous learning, even sometimes using the Bible scriptures as verbal weapons. This is why we're here to help guide you through these dark times of confusion, loud bump the gums, and wrong teachings and Christianity. We welcome you to our live broadcast of Yahweh's ministry. People say, "How can you guys get this much out of this one book?" Well, it comes from connecting the books of Yahweh's word. We even speak about your health from that book. Foods that you eat come from that same book. And keeping the Sabbath days, which we find out some are confused, but the Sabbath days is explained in the Bible. We do all this because you have not. It's the information you came to see. You have to look no further now, because you found that true word and the voices of the true Israelites, tribe of Yadah. We're open unto you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And the days we're open for your learning is Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. Generally not having a class on Tuesday, but we do have a Sabbath class. Knowing that we have a Sabbath class, the top part of the Sabbath is Friday. Current time starting at 7:30 to 10:30. And the bottom part of that Sabbath is Saturday. We have a temple class that starts at 12 p.m. and an online class that starts at 2 to 5 p.m. until the temple members desire to leave. We also have a website address. I would pay attention to what this website address is. We have a few people that have trouble entering this website address. That website address can be entered on any smart device. It is www.tribe, YHDH.com. And after you click enter, just on the big lion, you're going to see some choices. One of these choices will be tithes and offerings. Click PayPal and follow the instructions. Any other device, you may see menu. But after you click this, again, you'll see choices. Still choose tithes and offerings, and doing so, remember what it tells all of us that reads the Book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7 and verse number 8. Verse 7 says, "Give unto the Yahuwah, O you kindreds of the people. Give unto the Yahuwah glory and strength." 8, "Give unto the Yahuwah the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts." I always remind everyone that when you're doing this, to remember that Yahuwah loves a pure forgiver. And also, donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated, that you give according to the Bible scriptures mentioned in the book of Leviticus, chapter 27, verse 30, and also mentioned again in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 8, and verse number 9. This is to keep this ministry bringing you, Thus Says Yahuwah, live. Also for building a school. And with my current information I've been receiving, I see this school is very well needed. A banquet hall, radio station, and land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of on this program, Hallelujah Yahuwah. Also, another note that you need to find out. We have a calendar. That calendar will help keep you, your family, and tune with the feast days that come to all of us throughout the year. And don't forget, the calendar explains in biblical detail what the feast days are, when they end, and when they begin, by scripture. We also have a live program. This is featured as only available during our live broadcast time. To get there, enter three words, Yahuwah Radio Live. After you click enter, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yahdah. Now, this is for picking up programs that you were late logging into or any particular day that you would like to listen. Because once you enter that, look for the red live button as soon as it appears. It'll put you right into our live online broadcast. We're also using two email addresses for the listening members that have questions of a biblical nature. The first is tribe, that's T-R-I-B-E-Y-H-D-H at gmail.com. The other is Y-H-D-H-Y-S-R-A-E-L at gmail.com. Also for questions of a biblical nature. We have a few numbers also you can call with Yahuwah in mind. That first number would be 319-527-6065. The other phone number is 224-600-5579. This is an international number where you can call and leave message on scriptures that you have questions on and can be answered by any one of the 69 camps of Yahuwah's ministry. Also, by calling that same number, you can order what we have known as our 12 programs via the 12 Tribes of Israel on DVD, any particular 12 programs of your choice. Now, if you've happened to miss the beginning of today's program, don't worry. You can always catch the entire show at 9:15 p.m., except Fridays. Program time will be repeated after 10:30. Once again, just enter three words, Yahuwah Radio Live. And after clicking on, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yahdah. Just choose the program that you are late logging into or any previous day that you would like to listen. Now, during the normal broadcasts, we're also simultaneously transmitting our program on Paltalk. On Paltalk, we'll be listed under ethnic group, African American. Just look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yahdah. You'll find this was where Yahuwah's word is also working for your Bible education. Online there to answer any of the on-the-table topics we discuss will be Elder Mr. Tibbs, along with Seer Israel writing a shaka. And during this time, we'll be taking no comments off topics or any more than two text questions answered at a time. Failure to follow the Righteous Act, the elder would choose to block or restrict that sort of misuse. And the broad talk ends before teaching time. Once again, not to worry. Our teaching will continue on Pal Talk. Yahuwah be with you all. But remember, Yahuwah is not the author of confusion, as mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. 33 says, Yahuwah is not the author of confusion, but of peace is in all churches or covenants of the saints. So we have to keep these scriptures in mind, the correct scriptures, because when you're trying to win that bump the gums contest, you will miss all of Yahuwah's glory, which is said unto you. You have to remember, rehearsing the righteous act to learn the words of Yahuwah, as it tells us in the book of St. John, chapter 14, verse 26. 26 says, but the Comforter, which is the righteous Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things unto your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So we can keep those things in mind and bring back the things that we have forgotten. Let's keep our Bibles open so we can rehearse the righteous act. I will turn our program back over to our seer Israel and say, hallelujah, Yahuwah.
All right, there, Elder. That's excellent again. Hallelujah on that. And like we said again, we was touching on showing you about the day of Pentecost, and now you're clear about that day of Pentecost is the Feast of Weeks. So now you're clear about that. But one thing about it, like we was talking earlier, land, school, and banquet hall. But before you got the land, school, and banquet hall, you must set up 24 teachers. 12 in one room and his backup within one room. So understand one thing. You got to be clear how to go into your Bible, because you have game cells all over the world. They're going to come in, and they're going to throw things at you, and if you don't know how to get out of it, all the students that's in your classroom, they're going to look at you and say, wait, why don't you just take care of the business on it? That's why this platform that we have, the stage that we have, is getting the teachers and all of the six anointed camps prepared for what's to come. Because the Almighty is not going to release the land, school, and banquet hall until you in order and understand what this Bible is saying and all the trap words they're going to use to trap you up. They like the word called Pentecost. The word Pentecost means that's when all the nations came together. But if you go back and read and check the last tape, you see that wasn't so. We might touch on a little bit of that, but we want to move forward because there's a lot to learn. So we go on. Remember, the box tail been lit, the curtain hair went up. So that'll be going to see who will be on stage for tonight's teaching on part number 59. And we'll see exactly which way it'll go shortly. So we're going to stroll down and see who all will be on. The curtain is going up, and we will be on the night stage. And we'll start with Mother E. Let's see if Mother E, would she be on the stage for the night. When you meet the mothers out of Camp One with a loud voice, you say, Mother E, tribe of Yahuwah Judah. Yahuwah be with you, that's right. Mother E, tribe of Yahuwah Judah. Yahuwah be with you there, C. Royer. Okay, you're working on the microphone. Okay, all right. Let's go to Sister DT. Let's see, it's Sister DT Israel. Sister DT Israel, tribe of Yahuwah Judah. Yahuwah be with you there, C. Royer. What's going on? At WCC, what's going on? They wrapped around Camp 4, around Detroit, Michigan. Detroit,
no,
Michigan.
Princess.
Hold on a minute. Hold on a minute. Let me see. I guess everybody's microphone on a delay, but right now, it's around Detroit, Michigan. So the Princess, Leo Israel, Detroit, Michigan, out of Camp 4. Yahuwah be with you, that's right.
Yahuwah bless you, Seer Israel, C. Royal. Hallelujah.
C. seer Israel of Seroya. Of Seroya. All right, let's come back up to Detroit, Miss. I mean, back up to Sister DT. DT Israel.
That's right. All right. Yahweh bless and keep you, seer Israel of Seed Royal. Sister
Hallelujah,
DT Allah. Israel on point.
Hallelujah, excellent.
All right.
Let's go back to see kind of mother. Mother. Tribe of Yahweh Judah. Yahweh bless you, seed right.
Yahweh bless you, seer Israel of Seed Royal. Hallelujah, Allah.
All right, excellent. My name.
All right,
all right. Brother Micaiah, tribe of Yahdah Judah. One of the teachers out of Camp One. Brother Micaiah, Yahweh beat you, that's me right.
Brother Micaiah.
We got some delays on the night, episode 59. Okay, well, I'll tell you what, we're working where we got into New York, because WCC clipped these microphones, but we get them all cleared up because we want to get take them 59 going. So I'll tell you what we'll do. Let's see. Elder Mr. Till, take a look at Luke chapter 12, verse 12, and give me that microphone and see if you bring that out. And we can get something going on. Elder, Mr. Tills, let's take a look at Luke chapter 12, verse 12. Let's see what we get going on for the next episode, part 59. Come on.
Okay, Luke chapter 12, verse number 12 says, "For the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say."
Yeah,
that's right. In that very same hour, the righteous spirit will teach you. In that very same hour. See, we can study this book all we want to, but until the righteous spirit teach you in that very same hour, we're going to always have a lot of questions. We're going to be always thumbing around in all different places trying to figure out which way to go. So I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to open up with with Sister DT. Tribe of Yahdah Judah. Let's see if we all take a look at something that we need to know to get a clear understanding about this book. Let's run to 1 Peter chapter 2, Sister DT. Let's see what it says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20 down to verse 22. Let's see what we open up on take number 59. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20.
Okay, let me get there. First Peter.
First Peter chapter 2.
Peter.
Verse 22.
Okay, let me get that. First Peter.
Chapter 2, verse 20 to 22. We open up right there.
Okay, give me 1 second. Page. You say 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20 to 22?
Yeah, stay down to verse 22. Let's see what that says.
Okay. All right, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20 to 22.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, chapter 2, verse 20. "For what glory is it if, when ye be buffeted for your fault, ye shall take it patiently. But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with Yahweh." Verse 21. "For even hereunto were ye called, because Yahweh the Son also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps." Verse 22, "Who did no sin, no transgression, neither was guile found in his mouth." Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. So he said we gotta follow his steps, and he done no sin. What that means,
yes,
that we can read biblically that he done no sin. Let's find out what is the biblical definition of sin. So we find out that the son, he done no sin. What that means that we can read? Let's run to 1 John chapter 3, 3 and 4. 1 John chapter 3, 3 and 4. Let's find what that means by he done no sin. What that supposed to mean? So he found out, he said we got to walk after his steps, but we found out that he done no sin. Let's find out what the biblical definition of sin is. Since he done no sin, what is he trying to tell us in 1 John, right side of the book, chapter 3, verse 3 and 4?
All right, 1 John chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. 1 John chapter 3, verse 3. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Verse 4. Whosoever committed sin transgresseth also the Torah, for sin is the transgression of the Torah instruction.
Mm-hmm. So sin is the breaking of Torah instruction. That means the first five books. So we find out that he did not break the first five books. So that's what sin is. So now we find out something on the way to find out something. That sin is the breaking. Sin when you break the first five books. And we just find out the son did not break the first five books. That means he kept it. And that's a great thing. So did they straighten up Mother E's microphone yet? Mother E, y'all probably be just saying, right?
Yahweh bless you, dear Israel. See Roy. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. All right, your microphone good. So, Mother E, I know it's a verse that I want to take a look at. Out of the books that was removed from us in the 1800s, and I want to lay some on the table that the books was removed from us. So, in 2:36 of 2 Ezra, can you start doing a little reading in 2 Ezra 2:36? These books was removed from us in the 1800s. So I want to take a look at. I want you to look at what was said to us to keep in remembrance. And it's going to take us into make it third chapter. Make it 2 Ezra chapter 3, verse 32 down to verse 36. We want to take a look at something, Mother E. 2 Ezra chapter 3, verse 32 down to verse 36. Let's see if we can tie something in. You on the clock, come on.
2 Ezra chapter 3, verses 32 to 36.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 32, they, any other people that knoweth the basis besides Israel, of what generation has so believed thy covenant as Israel? Verse 33, and yet their reward appearance, not in their labor, has not fruit. For I have gone in there through the earth, and I see that they follow in whether. And whether and think not upon the Torah instruction, commandment 34. Wait thou therefore our weakness now in this manner, and there also that dwell in the world, and so shall their name nor were be found within Israel. 35. Or when was it that they which dwell upon the earth have not seen in thy sight? All people have so kept their Torah instruction. 36. Thus shall find that Israel by name has kept the precepts, but not the nation.
That's a big talk, that mother. Now, read verse 32 again.
Verse 32. Is there any other people that knoweth the basis, that knoweth thee besides Israel? Or what generation has so deceived their covenant as Israel?
Look what he's saying. He said the only one that know and supposed to know about the Almighty's word is Israel. He said it might be a few individuals might catch hold to it, but you got to have a few individuals because a few individuals got a job to do at a time appointed. But no nation can claim the monopoly of Yahweh's word but Israel. That what he's saying. Mm-hmm. So the one that's supposed to put out Israel's word is Israel. Wow. That what he's saying. Now, good. Right there. Now, Detroit. Camp 4 out of Detroit, Michigan. We're going to take a look at something, Detroit, Michigan. And what does it say in Psalms 111, Camp 4 out of Detroit, Michigan? What is it saying around 111, verse 10 in the book of Psalms? Let's see what it says here. 111, verse 10. Camp 4, Detroit, Michigan. Come on.
111, verse 10. The fear of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his Torah instruction. His praise endure forever.
So he says, to have an understanding of his word, you got to do what? Keep the Torah instruction. He says, a lot of people jump down in these Bibles, like the Baptist Church, the Pentecostal Church, and you know all this really is an offshoot from the Roman Catholic Church. We're going to leave the Roman Catholic Church out of the way for a minute, because we know that is the mother of all of Christianity and Christ life. We clear about that. But he's saying by the mystical spirit that the only way you can understand this Bible is what again in 111 verse 10 again, Camp 4? How you understand the Bible?
111 verse 10. The fear of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his Torah instructions. His praise endure forever.
So that's where it comes in at. So if you're doing the Torah instruction, your understanding will increase on you than those that are Mother E, Sirach 6, verse 2. Let's see what it says, Mother E, Sirach 6, verse 2. Yeah, 6 verse 2. Sirach 6 verse 2.
Okay, Book of Sirach.
Chapter 6 verse 2.
Okay. The Book of Sirach, chapter 6 verse 2. Exalt not thyself in the counsel of thine own mind, that thy soul be not torn in pieces as a bull straying along.
Mm-hmm. See, when you when you think that you can do this thing the way that you want to do it, the book is telling you don't do that, because here's the point we're making. Sister DT, let's back up to Ecclesiastes chapter 4, the regular book of Ecclesiastes chapter 4. We're going to take a look at something. See, we got rules and regulations. And if you follow these rules and regulations, a lot of things that before they jump off, you'd be prepared for when they happen. And you recognize what spirit they're on. And they might be doing the best they can. But if you don't follow the rules and regulations of the road, and like I said, you want to run through the red light, you're going to cause some kind of chaos sooner or later by keep running through that red light. So, but if you understand this Almighty got rules and regulations, let's see what he got written that we can read in Ecclesiastes, with BT, verse 4, chapter 4, verse 9, down to verse 12. Listen what he got written in his book.
Okay. Ecclesiastes, chapter 4, verses 9 through 12.
Mm-hmm.
Is
that
right? All right. Two are better than one because they
call
have a good reward.
Hold on.
Can
call you your me? Person. Call your person.
Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9.
Mm-hmm.
Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 10. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, for woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another help, not another to help him up. Verse 11, again, if two lie together, then they have heat, but how can one be warm alone? Verse 12, and if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken.
You see that? Tonight, it's like you can take a popsicle stick and you got one in your hand, you can snap that together and put three of them together. But put three together and see what happens. It's gonna be very hard to snap it. Same thing God tells you, right? You gotta follow the steps of the Almighty. The Almighty is telling you that two is better than one, because and just like when the temple site, just like the school won't be set up, it'll be 12 rooms, but you got to have two teachers in there, just in case one gets a little trouble, one can back him up. So they got to be set up first before you step into the next arena, because you have chaos, because they're going to come with all kinds of questions and comments on you. And you got to know how to use these questions and comments to take care of business. That's why I tell you two is better than one. And once you understand two is better than one, then you'll be able to move forward in the Almighty Word. Now, good point. Now what we want to do, Detroit, now come back again and read that 111 verse 10 again, Psalms 111 verse 10. Detroit, come on.
Psalms 111, verse 10. The fear of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his Torah instructions. His praise endure forever.
The only way you going to understand his word with his Bible, you got to be doing the Torah instructions, and that means the first five books. Now, he's going to give you rules and regulations how you do it. 28 of Isaiah, there, Camp Boy, Detroit, Michigan. We'll look at verse 9 and 10. This is real good, is what is written in Isaiah 28, verse 9 and 10. Listen to this.
Isaiah 28, verse 9 and 10. Verse 9, whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine, them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. Precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little.
And the only way you understand this Bible, you got to follow the precepts. You got to go here a little bit, and you got to go there a little bit. This book is not a novel. And we found out one verse. Matter of fact, I want you to read again, Mother E. Read that verse again in 3:32. This is what he says in 3:32 of the second book of Ezra. Read that verse one more time, then, Mother. Second Ezra 3, verse 32. Listen to this verse right here again.
Second
Mother
Ezra.
E. Mm-hmm. 3:32.
Second Ezra chapter 3, verse 32. Verse 32 reads, is there any other people that know the basis, know these besides Israel, or what generation has so believed their covenant, the Ten Commandments as Israel?
So what is he saying?
First five of Moses.
Okay, so what is he saying here? He says, if you're going to understand his book, who best to teach you than the ones he gave it to? And that's Israel. Israel is the one that he's given his book to. So who best going to give you an understanding about this book than Israel? So then, Sister DT, in Amos chapter 3, in Amos chapter 3, verse 1, 2, and verse number 7. Listen what he told the seer Amos to put in a book. Mm-hmm. Amos chapter 3, verse 1, 2, and verse number 7.
All right. Amos chapter 3, verses 1, 2, and verse 7. Chapter 3, verse 1. Hear this word that Yahweh had spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, also Mizraim, saying, verse 2, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquity. Verse 7, surely Yahweh will do nothing, but he revealed his secrets unto his servants, the seers.
So you see, it was the people that was picked to do this, but something happened to these people. And now we got to go find out what happened, because one, for the Pentecostal church, as we taught on in the last lesson was Monday, and the Baptist church, and both of these coming out of the Catholic church, they did not receive the word, but
yes.
Now they got the authority of the word, and we got to find out what happened from what was told to the children of Israel. Exactly, if you do not do what I tell you to do, what's going to happen to you? Let's back up to Deuteronomy for a minute. Sister Beast and Thomas, we're going to Deuteronomy chapter 28. And we're looking at verse 15. Skip down to verse 25. And
I read that. Listen,
47.
28, 25.
All right. 46. Well, we're
going to
look at 46.
Okay,
here we go.
Can you repeat that?
Deuteronomy 28.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And
25.
Pick up at verse 15. Pick up at verse 15. Skip down
yes.
to verse 25.
All right.
Skip down to 46 and 47. And let's
all
find
right.
out something. One way to find out something. Matter of fact, read 46 down to verse 50. It's going to tell us something from 46 to 50. But listen to what he says, and they're going to be talking about a people. And hold that part right there before you come in. another mother came on the stage, so we're going to bring another mother.
Hallelujah.
Mother G of Israel. Yahuwah bless you, Seroy.
Yahuwah bless you, Seer Israel of Seroy. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Mother G of Israel, I want to lay one verse down before we jump. We'll be clear when we do read what we get ready to read in Deuteronomy 28. I want to be clear in the book of Deuteronomy exactly who this letter to. So to be clear, who is the letter to? We're getting ready to read it. In Deuteronomy chapter 30. Because remember that we got to know when you're reading a letter, just like you're going to tell that mailman, you make sure you drop my letter off at my house. Stop putting my mail in somebody else's box. So we want to find out clearly when you read the book of Deuteronomy about this letter, that we need to be clear about it. And 31, verse 1 and verse 30, Moses of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 1 and verse 30. Let's talk about this Deuteronomy before we get off into it. Let's see what's the letter to. Come on.
Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 1 and verse 30. Verse 1, and Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. Verse 30. Verse 30. And Moses spake in the ears of all the congregation of Israel the words of this psalm, until they were ended.
And it don't end until you read 28:6-8. It don't end until this is taken. So now read 28:6-8. No, so it's not going to end until you hear this song is to all Israel. So it's not going to end until Deuteronomy 28:6-8 is read. So that's when the song ended. And what was said in 28:6-8, Mother D of Israel? What was said?
Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 68.
Yes.
Verse 68. And Yahuwah shall bring you into Egypt again with ships. By the way thereof I spake unto you. Thou shalt see it no more again, and there you shall be sold unto your enemy for bondsmen and bondwoman, and no man shall buy you.
So who is this Deuteronomy 28:6-8 is addressed to, Mother Day of Israel?
All Israel.
All of the congregation of the children of Israel. So when you read that verse right there, he said, you will be sold to your enemies.
Yeah.
Keep that in your mind. Now, okay, keep that in your mind. Now let's go back up to the DT. Let's run back now. Sir. To look at exactly now, to know who he's talking to. All Israel. All Israel is 12 tribes. So he's talking to them, and let's see what he says. And Deuteronomy 28, verse 15, and skip down to verse 25, 46, down to verse 50. Now, just remember, he's talking to all Israel. He's telling Moses about something going to happen to all Israel. Let's see what he says in 28, verse 15, 25, and 46 through 50. Sister D.K. Israel,
yes,
come on.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah. And Deuteronomy 28, verse 15, and it reads, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of Yahuwah thy Yahuwah, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Deuteronomy 28, verse 25, And Yahweh shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them, and shalt be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. Deuteronomy 28, verses 46 through 50. And they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder, and upon thy seed forever. Verse 47. Because thou servest not Yahweh thy Yahweh with joyfulness and with gladness of heart and mind for the abundance of all things. Verse 48. Therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which Yahweh shall send against thee, in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee. Verse 49. And Yahweh shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flyeth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand. Verse 50. A nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
So now, when you're reading the book of Deuteronomy, who is this letter addressed to? Sister D.T. Israel.
To the congregation of the children of Israel.
So that's just so memorable. So when you read the book of Deuteronomy, that's who it's addressed to. So keep that in your mind. Now, we want to go back and take a look at a couple of statements that was made with that in mind. Because, see, the Pentecostal church, the Baptist church, they have a tendency to have monopoly on the word. But when you go into this word, you can't find nothing that will line up with, but you bring out, you leave out the children of Israel and you put in something else. We'll show you exactly what you do. Tampa, Detroit, Michigan. Let's see, let's run to Psalms 22. Now, to read the way you see it, verse 22. Listen real good at this. Psalms 22, verse 22.
Psalms 22, verse 22. And it reads, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the congregation of Israel. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee.
So he says, now this David, 1000 B.C., I'm going to declare thy name in the midst of the congregation. Now, to thy brethren in the midst of the congregation. Now we're going to precept that to the book of Eber, and see exactly what's going to be in place of the congregation. But you can see it plainly. That's why the ones that have taught you this book, they have left out great details when somebody investigates this book and see what you have left out. Now we go on to the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, and read it like you see it in 2 verse. Watch what's said in 2 verse 12.
Hebrews 2 verse 12, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the 12 of the church will I sing praise unto thee.
Well, read that again. Just read the way you see it. Read the way you see it again. And
Hebrews 2 verse 12, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee.
You see that? So now you see the word church just bumped off what word? Now, the word church has just bumped off a word. And what word did the church bump off, Camp Hall?
The children of Israel.
No. Back to Psalms 22. What word did the church just got to bump off back to Psalm 22, verse 22. Let's see what word was bumped off. Let's come back to Psalms 22, verse 22.
Psalms 22, verse 22. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Congregation.
Okay, good. Now, if this is where Paul is pulling this from, what happened when you go back to Hebrews 2:12? What happened? Let's see what word will be pronounced polluted, but what word when you go, I know you don't jump over the word. You just pronounce it polluted, but what word when you come back to 12, 2 verse 12 of the book of Hebrews? Come back
Hebrews
to
2 verse 12. 12.
Uh-huh.
Saying, I will declare the name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I sing praise unto thee.
Mother, read that. Come back and read that verse, Mother, come back and read Psalms 22, verse 22. Pay attention to Troy.
Okay.
Psalms 22, verse 22.
The book of Psalms, chapter 22, verse 22. I will declare thy name, Israel, unto my brethren in the midst of the congregation, the 12 tribes of Israel, will I praise thee.
Okay, good. Now, this is what was said 1,000 years prior. Now, let's find out everything you just said. Let's see what name, what title would bump off everything you just got through saying by going to 2 verse 12. Let's see what else. Let's see now, read 2 verse 12. Let's see if we can get the number one answer in 2 verse 12. Mother, 2 verse 12.
Look up Hebrews chapter 2, verse 12. Verse 12, saying, I will declare thy name Israel unto my brethren in the midst of the congregation of Israel will I sing praises unto thee.
Mm-hmm. But you left out something. You're going to pull down to Mother D up Israel. Keep one thing in your mind. You're going to be tested. And all this will come up. And you got to have the number one answer and show where to go to, but you cannot leave out anything that's there. So let's see if we're on to Mother D of Israel and let Mother D Israel take a look at this verse one more time. Psalms 22, verse 22. Mother D of Israel.
Psalms 22. I was on Twitter. Okay, see ya.
22:22.
Psalms 22:22 reads, I will declare your name unto my brethren in the midst of the congregation of Israel will I praise thee.
Good. Now, you got the congregation of Israel. Said 1,000 BC. And here goes 1,000 years later. Let's see what happens when we jump down the book, without having this right here, matter of fact, without having an elder, Mr. Tills, read Psalm 11, verse 3. Elder, Mr. Tills, read Psalms 11, verse 3. Elder, Mr. Tills, Psalms 11, verse 3. Pick that verse up, Detroit, 11, verse 3.
Psalms 11, verse 3, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do?
You see that? So if your foundation be destroyed, so if you don't have your foundation, I don't care how righteous you want to be, you'll be you can be fine. But if you have your foundation to it, that's why we're going to show you soundly. If you don't have your foundation, you won't do what is written and what they tell you not to do. The chart, let's back up to numbers 15, 15, and 16.
Numbers 15, verse 15.
Mm-hmm.
The ordinance shall be both for you of the congregation of Israel and also for the stranger that sojourneth with you, an ordinance forever in your generations. As ye are, so shall the stranger be before Yahweh. Verse 16. One Torah instruction and one manner shall be for you and for the stranger that sojourneth with you.
What is he saying? He said, if your foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? He said, either one way to understand his word. And he says, and the strangers that is teaching your book today, you cannot follow them. They can follow you. When you see the word church in your Bible and you pronounce the word church, then you have broke that command, because the church, it is a polluted title for the whole congregation of the children of Israel. So when your preacher said to you that, do you have a church home? He's saying the word church to you, and you find out now the word church is a misnomer for the whole congregation of the children of Israel. If that is put soundly in your head, every time you see the word church, you say the word church, but after that you say polluted for the congregation of the children of Israel. Now when you're starting to make sense of this book and where you stand and where they stand at, but that's the part they're going to leave out. And that's going to take us a little further off the road now. So when you go and read Psalms 22, you say it's in the midst of the congregation. Then you go back to Hebrews 2:12, it says in the midst of the church. So you see the word church taking the place of the congregation. Mm-hmm. So now you out there wide open now, because you are removed exactly who this letter is addressed to. Letters addressed to the children of Israel. Now, we're going to go, Mother D.F. Israel, and we're going to look at another statement. Let's go to Acts chapter 7, verse 22, 23, and 38. Once we line this up, then we'll be able to go further, but you got to have your foundation. So when you see the word church, you don't stumble and bumble around with it. You pronounce the word church, then polluted for the congregation of the children of Israel. Now here go a case in point. We're going to Acts. This is where you're going to go at. The Catholic Church, Protestant churches, the Pentecostal churches, and the Baptist churches. This is what they're going to read to you. Acts chapter 7, verse 22, 23, and 38. Listen to what they're going to read to you. And I'll tell you what. Let's go to 38. We hold off to 22 and 23. Let's go to Acts chapter 7, verse 38. They're going to read this to you. And this is where they're going to jam you up. Because they're going to say, look what it's saying here. Acts 7, 38. Mother D.F. Israel, read it.
Acts chapter 7, verses 38, and it reads, this is he that was in the church polluted by the congregation of Israel in the wilderness.
Okay, good. Now, what I want you to do, I want you to believe the way you see it. Then we go. Then we'll go tear it down. See, this what they. This where they gonna go at to trap you up at. You just read where you see it at. Then we'll show you how you get out minded by. In the 7th chapter, verse 38. Read it. Guess the way you see it.
Acts chapter 7, verse 38. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the ministering spirit which spake to him in Mount Sinai and with our father who received the lively oracle to give unto us.
Okay. So this is he was in the church in the wilderness. This is he was in the church in the wilderness. That gave a lively oracle to our father. So here go here. Church is in the wilderness. Now what you gotta do, remember what we read in 11 verse 3. If your foundation be destroyed, what can a righteous do? Now we're gonna go back in the wilderness and teach and see exactly what you're talking about. You said the church was in the wilderness. Now we got to investigate the church that's in the wilderness. So let's go back and investigate it. So we'll run back and investigate it, Mother D up Israel. We're going to investigate the church in the wilderness. Let's go back to Exodus. We're going back and investigate the church in the wilderness. That's what we're going to do now. Because you said the church was in the wilderness. So what we're going to do, we're going to go investigate and see can it hold up if we investigate. Because what we do, we just go to these establishments and let them tell us anything, and we repeat what they say. And then when the scriptures come out, they can't defend themselves, and they get mad because they can't defend themselves. But what happens, now try to see what will happen. Sister DT is in the 13th chapter of Exodus. 13th chapter Ezekiel 1-5. Sister DT, let's run and take a look at a statement over here in Ezekiel chapter 13:1-5. Let me show what happens.
Ezekiel chapter 13:1-5. Ezekiel chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. All right, Ezekiel chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. Verse 1, and the word of Yahuwah came unto me, saying, verse 2, son of man, prophesy against the seers of Israel that prophesy, and say thou unto them that prophesy out of their own minds, heart, hear ye the word of Yahuwah.
Hold that part of that. Hold that part. In this case, we're talking about the pastors, the shepherds, the bishops, talking about the teachers, all the ones that the pastors, in this case, he said, I want you to prophesy against them. So in this case, you're reading verse 2, you're reading about the pastors, the bishops, the teachers, the shepherds. That's what it means right there. Because all I got to do is go back to Jeremiah 23 and 25 and tie that in. But put that in place of that so you have more understanding. And you're talking about, because you're saying prophesy against them. Come on. Start back up from the top.
All right. Ezekiel chapter 13, and the word of Yahuwah came unto me, saying, verse 2, son of man, sigh against the prophets of Israel that prophesy, and say thou unto them that prophesy out of their own minds, own hearts, hear ye the word of Yahuwah. Verse 3, thus said Yahuwah, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. Verse 4, O Israel, thy prophets are like the foxes in the desert. Verse 5, you have not gone up into the gap, neither made up a hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle of the day of Yahweh.
Go ahead.
Oh, verse 6.
No, verse 5.
And they have, oh, verse
5.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Ezekiel chapter 13, verse 5. Ye have not gone up into the gap, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of Yahweh.
Mm-hmm. And see, and that's the reason why the Catholics and the Protestants and the Baptists, they can't defend it when you go in the book. Because when you go in the book and peek down on what they is trying to tell you, they can't defend it when you say, well, where can I read that at? See, where, that sounds good, but where can I read that at? And that's when they're going to get offended at you. Okay? Got to be clear. That's when they're going to get offended at you when it's time to read. Long as time to discuss and say how I love him, and that's going to be real good. But when you tell them, well, you know, that sounds real good, but what can I read that at? See, and now you want to offend them by saying it. What can I read it at? So now we just got to read in Acts chapter 7, verse 38, the church was in the wilderness. Now we just going to go right to the 17th chapter of Mother Dia, and let's find out exactly, remember, in 11, verse 3, if your foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? We go and see exactly who in the wilderness by just going back and peeping on who was in the wilderness that we can read. We go on to the book of Exodus, chapter 17, verse 1, and let's see if will the church hold up where we just turn the Bible and peep and see who is in the wilderness. 17, verse 1. Come on.
Exodus chapter 17, verse 1. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sinai.
That's good. That's all I want to know, who was in the wilderness. All the congregation of the children of Israel. That's who the church is. If you're going to use the fluid word church. But what was in the wilderness was the children of Israel. Now back up to the 16th chapter and look at verse 16. We step at verse 2. Exodus 16, verse 2. Let's find out who in the wilderness. 16, verse 2.
Exodus chapter 16, verse 2. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness.
So you see that? So when you read about the church in the wilderness, you see the word church is a replacement for whole congregation of the children of Israel. So now once you understand that when you see the word church in this Bible, what it's really pointing at, then the Bible going to make more sense to you. It'll be more plainly to you. Let's go to the book of Joshua. Mother D.F. Israel, you're going to Joshua. We don't get another witness. See, we land this point because when we get off to what we get ready to get off into, we want you to be clear. You must understand exactly who is he talking to. Just not throwing out a word called a church. If you mention the wilderness, it's talking about a people called the children of Israel. The 14th chapter, verse 10 says what?
14. Joshua polluted for Hoshea, chapter 14, verse 10.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 10. And now behold, Yahweh has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since Yahweh spake this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness.
So now, if we got that part together, when you see the word church, and when you see the word church, it's always pointing back to the children of Israel. Now, good. Now, Marie, now we're going and show you where you'll go at. But see, we try to get you prepared on what you're going to run into. Because once the school come up and the students start coming in your room, you will have a game salesman come in too. And they're going to bring, into your classroom on where they've been taught. And if you don't have the answers and they get you all thumbing around disembobulated, then what that'll do for the students in your class? So you got to know how to let them go there and let them go there and help them get there, then go to work on them. Mother, let's go to Matthew 22. Look at verse 35 of Matthew 9. Now, this is where they're going to go with you. The Catholic Church is going to go here. The Pentecostal Church, the Baptist Church, the Protestant Church. This is where they're going to go. And if you prepared, if the reason you won't be prepared, that means you didn't pay this no never mind. And when it come up on you, which is going to come, then you stuck. That's why you got to have a backup with you to say, wait a minute. How you going to teach the class, and now you got somebody, and now they have to do this work on your ass here, and you can't get out from under. Matthew 22, verse 35, listen good. They're going to throw it on you now. Listen good, and they throw this on you, and let's see what you do.
Book of Matthew, chapter 22, verse 35. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, 36, Master, which is the greatest commandment Torah instruction in the Torah instruction?
Just read the way you see it, Moses. Now we're doing it for teaching. Just read the way you see it because they're gonna read this to you. And they're going to read the way it's in this. They're going to read it to you one way. Then you got to come behind and straighten up. But they're going to say, I got something to teach you. What about Matthew 22, verse 35 to 40? And then you're going to say, okay, well, go ahead and read it. And they're going to read this how they're going to read it. Now we're going to see what you do when they do read it. Just read it the way you see it. Now you got to be prepared to come behind them and take care. Matthew 22, 35 to 40. Listen good.
The book of Matthew, chapter 22, verses 35 to 40. Verse 35. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? 37. Yahweh the Son said unto him, Thou shalt love your Yahweh, with all thy mind, and with all thy soul, thyself, and with all thy mind. 38. This is the first and greatest commandment. 39. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Verse 40. Note, on these two commandments hang all the laws and the prophets, the seals.
See, this is how they're going to read it. See, this is how they're going to read this verse to you. And now, what you going to do when they read this verse to you? You say, now, on these two laws you hang. Oh, so we ain't got to keep all, we can hang everything on. Now what two words they say you can hang all of it on? See, now they on wiped off all of the laws of the book. They said, now all we got to follow is two now. See, all we got to follow is two. Now read again. A matter of fact, DT, read that verse right there again. Same verse. Read 22, 35 through 40. But they're going to tell you all you got to keep now is just the two. Let's find out what two they're talking about one more time. Listen to this. For the DT, Matthew 22, 35 through 40.
Matthew chapter 22, verses 35 through 40. Matthew chapter 22, verses 35 through 40. Then once
read it exactly where you see it, because
all right,
remember,
Matthew.
You sit in a classroom. You got students gonna come in all over the country, and now they're gonna have these already in their head, and they're gonna say, Mrs. Teacher, what about this 22, 35 to 40? And then you will tell them, I tell you what, well, we're gonna read that verse. Okay, good. Now once they read this verse, then you supposed to go at it with the right spirit to take care. But let's see what they're going to bring to the table. In advance, 22, 35 to 40, bring.
All right, Matthew chapter 22, verses 35 through 40. And they read, then one of them, verse 35, then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, verse 36, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? The Torah instruction. Mm-hmm. Verse 37. Yahweh the Son said unto him, thou shalt love Yahweh with all thy heart and mind, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Verse 38. This is the first and great commandment of the Torah instruction. Verse 39. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Verse 40. On these two commandments of the Torah instruction hang all the seers, what prophets.
Well, see, again, if you read the way you see it, then you'll be able to deal with it. But like I said, this is an education, teaching ministry. You got to read the way they're going to read it. Now, this is how they're going to read it. They're going to read this exactly the way, look at verse 37, 39. Read the way you see it, but we can go and show you when they go there, how to get up out of it. But they don't know about no Torah instruction.
That's right.
They don't know about that. They ought to know about what they read in verse 39, 37, 39. That's all they're going to know about. And what is that? Verse 37, 39. Read again.
And Yahweh the Son said unto him, thou shalt love Yahweh thy Yahweh with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Verse 38, this is the first and great commandment.
Okay, good. Hold that one. Let's look at the first great commandment. So where's the first? Read 37 again. Now let's take it a first great commandment. So here go the first great commandment. This is what they're going to bring to you. This is the first great commandment. Read verse 37 again.
Yahweh the Son said unto him, thou shalt love Yahweh, thy Yahweh, with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind.
All right, 38.
This is the first and great commandment.
So the first great commandment is what word?
To love Yahweh with all thy heart, all thy soul, and with all thy mind.
So that's the first. So that's going to be your first great commandment. To love the mighty one. That is the first. So the first great commandment is to love him. Now, good.
Yes.
Now, let's back up and see what was he quoting that from. Remember, 11 verse 3, see, when this was said, it wasn't no Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, or none of them books. They wasn't even there. So the only way you're going to find out how to love him, you got to go back. The only book that was on the table when that statement was made was the book of Malachi back to Genesis. So to find out what he's talking about, you got to go back to your left. So when he made that statement, you got to go back to your left and find the answer to that statement. You can't go to your right because all these letters were wrote after that. So let's go find out what is he talking about by going back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, Mother D.F. Israel. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1, and see where he's pulling this from. See, he's pulling this great love of the Mighty One. He has been pulling it from the foundation. So let's go back to the 6th chapter of Deuteronomy and see what he's talking about. 6, verse 1, come on.
Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1. Now these are the Torah instructions, the statute, and the judgment which Yahweh, your Yahweh, commanded, teach you that you might do them in the land whether you go to possess it.
Okay.
Verse 2, that you might fear Yahweh, your Yahweh, to keep all his statutes and his Torah instructions, which I command you and your sons and your sons' sons, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged.
Three.
Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with you, and that you may increase mightily as Yahweh of your fathers have promised you in the land that floweth with milk and honey.
Verse 5.
And you shall love Yahweh, your Yahweh, with all thine mind, and with all your soul, and with all your might.
Now you see what love he's saying, that the great love is, here go your great love. Your great love is what? According to 6:1. What is the great love? Now you say you love him with all your heart and all your soul, but what is that in 6:1?
Read 6:1. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1. Now these are the the covenant, the statute, and the judgment which Yahweh, your Yahweh, commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whether you go to possess it.
And what's that in verse 2?
In verse 2. That you might fear Yahweh, your Yahweh, to keep all his statutes and his Torah instructions, which I command you.
Good. Now read verse 5.
Verse 5. Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, and that you shall love Yahweh, your Yahweh, with all thy mind, and with all your soul, and with all your might.
So how do you love your Mighty One? How do you love him? Remember, when they go to Matthew 22, they're going to tell you, well, all we got to do is love him, but now what is love? Then you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, 1, 2, and 5 and tell you love is keeping the first 5 books of the Torah instruction called commandments. So that's how you hang all these on these two, but the first greatest one was love. But love is keeping the first 5 books. So there goes your love. But when they go there and drop that on you, and you don't have the answer to come back to 6:1 and 2 and verse 5, to love him with all your heart and all your mind, all your soul. That's a great thing. But how do you love him in all your heart, all your mind, all your soul? By keeping the first five books. So that's how you love him when they drop this on you in 37 and 38. They say, all we got to do is follow the two. Okay, two, all right? So now you got 37, 38. So now you got the love out the way. Now let's go back to 39. And when they go to 39, they're going to drop this on you. Now, how you going to get out from 39? Where you see it, the DT Israel, 39.
Matthew.
22, 39.
Matthew 22:39. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.
And the second one, you're supposed to love your neighbor. And you know when you be inside the church, the preacher tell you, turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor. See? And then you're doing everything the preacher's saying. But is that what he's talking about? See, is that what the Bible's talking about? Or is what your preacher has been programmed to say, neighbor? He said, nah, the second is to love your neighbor. Now you got to find out who's your neighbor, according to the Bible. You love your neighbor as yourself, but who is your neighbor? The one that's sitting right next door to you? The one across the street from you, the one sitting there in the seats, is that your neighbor? Let's go investigate this neighbor. Now, is it now read verse 39 again?
Matthew 22, verse 39. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.
Now look what he says in verse 40 with that. Now you got to love your mighty one and love your neighbor. Now look what he says in verse 40.
Matthew chapter 22, verse 40. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.
You see that? So there's a deal. So that's what they're going to bring to the table. All we got to do is do these two. Okay, now we find out one, this love is keeping the first five books. Now we're going to find out about the neighbor. Now, Mother Eve, let's see if we find out about this neighbor now. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 19, verse 1 and 2. See, this is how you have to pick them apart because they're going to come. They're going to come all over the world to sit in one of your classes. And they all have their mind already fixed. You got to let them go there, but you always prepare for them to go there, then go in and then silence them with the right spirit. You silence them real plainly. Because when these statements was made, it wasn't no, what you call New Testament. All this was pointed back to your left. It was nothing pointed back to your right. Because when the sun walked the face of the earth, it wasn't no Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and none of them, they weren't even going to take. So everything he's saying, he's pointing back. That's what you got to remember when you're reading the Bible. So now, we're going to Leviticus chapter 19, and we're going to find out about who the neighbor is. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 1 and 2. Mother Eve.
The book of Leviticus, chapter 19, verse 1 and verse 2. Verse 1. And the Yahweh speak unto Moses, saying, verse 2. Speak unto all the congregation. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 1 and verse 1. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, verse 2, spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto him.
All right. According to Leviticus 19:1-2, who was this message addressed to, Mother Eve?
All Israel.
All of the who? All the congregation of the children of Israel.
All of the congregation of Israel.
That's who it addressed to. So that's what this was this letter to. Now skip down to verse 17 and 18. Let's see what is told to all of the congregation of the children of Israel. Skip down to verse 17 and verse 18.
Leviticus chapter 19, verse 17 and verse 18. Verse 17. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine mind. Thou shalt in no wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. Verse 18. You shall not avenge nor bear any grudge, children, the family of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Yahweh.
So who was he saying, you got to love your neighbor as yourself?
The children of Israel.
Who's saying you got to love your neighbor as yourself? Now, when you go back, Sister DT, you go back and read this right here, so DT, verse 22:40. What it says in 22:40? Or Matthew's.
Okay, Matthew 22. Say Matthew 22:40.
Yes, ma'am. 22:40.
All right. Matthew chapter 22, verse 40. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.
Okay. Now you hang all the two on, loving your mighty one and loving your neighbor as yourself. So now we find out that the two greatest commandments is, we read in Deuteronomy chapter 6, 1, 2, and 5, the love is keeping the first five books. That's how you love your mighty one. And the neighbor he's talking about is your brother of the children of Israel. So that's they gonna go. They gonna bulldog themselves into this. They gonna pull themselves into this, and they is not even in this. This letter is not addressed to them. He was speaking back to the people of the book, the children of Israel, telling them, "You gotta love your brother." Of the children of Israel, like yourself. You got to love your mighty one by keeping what he got written in the first five books. So that's what he was saying. But they're going to come in your classroom, and they're going to jump you and weigh you out like a rug, because you're not going to get off none of this. You're going to be fumbling all around because you're not going to have the proper tools to go in the book and say, okay, to love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, good when they said that. But then you got to go back to Leviticus chapter 19, 1, 2, 17, 18, and the neighbor, you're talking about the children of Israel. And when you love your mighty one, you talk about loving him is keeping the first five books. Now, once you have broke that down to them, the class that you in, they know one thing, he or she on strong like a midget, and they quiet, then you can continue to teach your class. So that's the key, but you got to know how to get in and get out. Now, Mother D of Israel, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 10 and look at 12 through 15. So now he gonna say something to you. Let's see what he said to you. Deuteronomy chapter 10. Verse 12 through 15.
Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12 to 15.
Yep.
Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12 to 15, read. Verse 12. And now, Israel, what doeth Yahweh your Yahweh require of you, but to fear Yahweh your Yahweh, to walk in all his ways, and to love him and to serve Yahweh, your Yahweh, with all your mind and with all your soul. Verse 13, to keep the Torah instructions of Yahweh and his statutes, which I command you this day for your good. Verse 14, behold the heaven and the heavens of heaven is Yahweh, your Yahweh, the earth also with all that therein is. Verse 15, only Yahweh has a delight in your father to love them, and he chose their seeds after them, even you, above all people, as it is this day.
So loving all your heart and all your soul by doing what? Keeping the first five books. So that's how you love them. So his love have a condition to it. Mm-hmm. You just can't say, well, I love him, I love him, I love him. You mm-hmm. say, okay, if you love him, that means you keep him what he got written. Now go to Wisdom Solomon. Now, Mother Eve, let's run to Wisdom of Solomon 6:18. Let's run to the Wisdom of Solomon, Mother Eve, and 6:18. Because see, just with the Christians, the Baptists, all this is up under the Catholic Church. They're going to tell you how much love they got for him. Okay, good. But now we find out how you get attention on his love by recognizing the people of the book, the children of Israel, and love is keeping the first five books. And I want to know, between the Catholic Church, the Baptist Church, the Episcopalian Church, the Pentecostal Church, how many of them keeps what he got written in his book?
Mm.
Which one? So they say the love is keeping what he had got in his book. And all them nominations, which one keeping what he got written in the book? If the book is the measurement, hold that part right there. Before you get to there, let's see what it says in Detroit. Let's run to 34:16 of Numbers. Numbers 34, make it Isaiah 34:16. What it said, Detroit.
Isaiah.
Let's run and take a look at 34:16 of Isaiah.
Isaiah 34:16, and it reads, seek ye out of the book of Yahweh, and read, no one of these shall fail, none shall want her mate.
So if you want to find out anything that he got to say, you got to seek out of his book and read to have an understanding of what he got in his book. You got to read his book. So you can't go off into the other books to find out what he's saying. You got to seek out of his book and read. That's the game changer right there. Seek out of his book and read. Okay, good. If that's the case, now, Mother E, what it says in the Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 18, what it say?
The book of Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 18. Verse 18 reads, and love is the keeping of the Torah instruction, commandments, and the giving heed unto her. Torah instruction is give the assurance of incorruption.
Yeah.
Well, like I said again, one thing about it, You're swinging a heavy piece of law. The bottom line is now we find out again. Remember he said is you hang all these on these two commandments, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, hang it on there. Love is keeping the five books. The gift of Almighty's love, you got to make sure you line up with the first five books. Now you tell me where in the Catholic Church, Protestant Church, Baptist Church, that they have the love of the Bible from him, because none of them keep the first five books. They say it's done away with.
Mm.
They say it's done away with. We got these two. Okay, one is loving him, and he said love him is keeping the first five books.
Right.
That's what he said. So now, if you're going to bring him to the table, or you're going to bring where you've been told to the table, then you always going to come on the show. But when you investigate what you've been told, then you'll see it don't stand up. And that's why you start saying, well, that's your interpretation. I said, no, it's not. That's what the Bible's saying. The Bible's saying that love is keeping the first five books to get his love. So if you're not keeping the first five books and you saying it's done away with, and let's find out what he got waiting on you to think about that way. Detroit, let's run to Matthew's. We're going to Matthew chapter 5, verse 19 and 20. Listen good what he says if that's the approach you're going to take on his love. We're going to go to Matthew's chapter 5 and hear what he say out of his own mouth in verse 19 and 20. Let's see what he say out of his own mouth. And Matthew 5:19-20. What do you say?
Matthew 5:19-20. Whosoever therefore shall break one of the least Torah instructions and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach the Torah instruction, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Verse 20. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven.
And what did he just say? He said, now, if you point back at the law, you ain't got to keep the law no more. He says, you're going to be least in the kingdom, meaning that you're not going to be in the kingdom, you're going to be in the fire. But he said, one that keeps the law, they will be called great.
Mm-hmm.
So the Catholics and a Protestant to say, we not up under that law no more. All we got to do is do. Love him, have great love for him, and love our neighbor. And we turn and look at the one sitting next to us and said, neighbor, neighbor. No, that's talking about the children of Israel, that you got to keep the first five books to have his love. But if you tell Biz, a woman that you ain't got to keep that, you're going to be least in the kingdom. And when you least in the kingdom, meaning you're going to be in the fire. That's what it means. So if you're not going to keep it, you don't tell nobody else, the law is done away with. Because that what's going to judge you is the first five books. Now let's read that. Let's read that chapter 4. Out of the chart, let's go to the 12th chapter of Matthew and look at verse 46 and 50. Let's see what's going to judge you on what the Baptist church, the Christian, all of them come out of the Catholic church, Pentecost, all of them come out of the Catholic church because all of them do the same thing. All of them keep Sunday, the wrong day. All of them keep Christmas, Easter, Thanksgiving, they're all, and nothing got to do with Leviticus 23.
Mm-hmm.
All of them eat, all the hogs didn't get their mouth on.
Mm-hmm.
All of them eat all the hogs and get their mouth off. See? Lots of shrimp, and all that. All they get their mouth off, they're going to eat it. See? So you're breaking everything that's written in the book, and then you say you got the same blessing for the ones that's keeping. That's why we read that verse. We'll read that verse one more time. Hey, Mother, come back to that 3:32 again of the book of 2 Ezra. See, that's why we need to be talking to you. Until you know who you are, you're not going to never line up with the Bible until you know who you are. As long as you think you African American, Negro, and color, and super coon, you will never see yourself in a book. And then that preacher standing before you is going to just fleece you until he has disclosed you and everybody you come in contact with. Because he's never going to read this verse to you of those 14 books was taken out. It was 80 books, now it's 56, because the 14 books was taken out because this verse they didn't want you to ever read it. Huh? And what it says in 3:32 again, MLD, what verse is in the book that was taken out by the Protestant Church in 1885? What is written in 3:32?
2 Ezra, chapter 3, verse 32. Is there any other people that knoweth thee besides Israel? Or what generation has so believed thy covenant, Torah instruction, as Israel?
Yeah. The only one knew this and was supposed to teach this is Israel. Not the Protestants, not the Catholics, not the Baptists, not the Pentecostals. The only one knew this was Israel. But what happened to Israel in 28:37, Mother Eve, what happened to Israel? What was said that we can read that's going to happen to Israel in Deuteronomy 28:37?
Book of Deuteronomy 28:37. Okay, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28:37. Deuteronomy chapter 28:37. Deuteronomy chapter 28:37. And thou shalt become an astonishment and a proverb and a byword among all nations, whether the Yahuwah shall lead thee.
Mm-hmm. So by you disobeying what rules and regulations you receive, and you paying no never mind even to the day, you're going to be a byword and a proverb among all nations where you seek yourself to be at. Nobody can call you by your name. They're going to call you African Americans, Negroes, color, blacks. Well, what's your nationality? I'm black. See? That's all you know now. Why? When you disobey the instructions that was given to you, now back up to 32. Go forward to 32 there, Mother E. And pick up verse 26 in the chart. Have me Psalm 119, verse 19 and 20 waiting on me. 147, verse 19 and 20 waiting on me. Now, in Deuteronomy 32, verse 26. Now, you say now, so you're going to be a byword. And you'll be a proverb. That means nobody ain't going to know. You're going to go by the name they give you. And that's what you respond to today, don't you? Don't you respond to African-American, Negro, color, or black? Well, what are you? I'm black. See? Look what it says in 32, verse 26 in Deuteronomy about you.
Look at Deuteronomy. Chapter, The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32, verse 26. Verse 26. I said, I will scatter them in two corners. I would make the remembrance of them to cease from among men.
He said, nobody going to remember you. You're going to be in every nation by the sun. Ain't nobody going to remember you out of people of the book. Nobody ain't going to remember. And when you tell them you Israel from one of the 12 tribes that scattered, they're going to say, no, you Negro. You color. You you black. You Negro. You Negro. You Negro. They're going to say, you are. And you can't get off Monday. They have jokes about you. You not going to go in the book because you're in the Bible, right? Let me show you why I am in this Bible. And I know why I'm in captivity in the brain because what was given to me and my forefathers, they backed away from it. And guess what? And now we caught up on these old preachers that got us on the wrong day and got us doing everything contrary to the Bible. And we want to know why. And then they'll say, you are saved. Well, wait a minute. You ask a good question. How long you been saved? Huh? Oh, I've been saved for the last 20 years. Oh yeah? Oh, I know my mother's saved. Oh yeah? But do the Bible support your mama, your uncle, your granddaddy saved? We'll find out shortly. Let's go to the book. 147, 19 and 20. Thank you. Well, let's see
what it says. Psalms 147, verse 19 and 20. Mm-hmm. He showeth his word unto Israel, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. He has not dealt so with any nation. Mm-hmm. And as for his judgment, they have not known them. Praise Yahweh.
He said, you better praise Yahweh. But he said, listen, he showed his word unto one people.
Mm-hmm.
Other people, he haven't showed it to. How do they talk more than you do? That's the point. How is they can have more gatherings than you have it? And the word was given to you, and you left them teaching you the word. He showed the word to you, and he said, I haven't dealt so with any other nation. So how is you now following the other nation about his word? You see?
Mm-hmm.
You see what you're looking at? He said, I didn't give him this word. I gave it to one people called the children of Israel. They know my word. The other nations do not know my word. And that's why you got everything twisted up, and that's why you're going to the worship place on the wrong day. So you're not following his steps on nothing he's doing because he did not keep Sunday. See? He did not keep Sunday. And the word church points toward the whole congregation of the children of Israel. So then you would say, well, I know my mama.
Something else.
My mother been saved for the last 30, 40 years. My mother been saved. Well, wait a minute. Let's go back and find out what is the biblical definition of being saved according to the Bible. That's my mother D up Israel. Let's run back to Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28, verse 47 and 48. And listen real good. Deuteronomy 28. Now, listen real good, because when you hear them say, well, my parents been saved for how long have you been saved? I've been saved for 20, 30 years. Okay, good. Now we're going back in the Bible, in the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, look at 47 and 48 and 68. What does it say there, Mother D. of Israel? Deuteronomy 28, 48, and 68.
Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 47, 48, and 68.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 47. Because thou servest not Yahweh, your Yahweh, with joyfulness and with gladness of mind for the abundance of all things. Verse 48. Therefore shall you serve thine enemy, which Yahweh shall send against you, in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon your neck until he have destroyed you. Verse 68. And Yahweh shall bring you into Egypt again with ships by the way whereof I spake unto you. Thou shalt see it no more again, and there you shall be sold unto your enemy for bondsmen and bondwoman, and no man shall buy you.
I'll read verse 48 again. Verse 48.
Deuteronomy 28, 48. Therefore shall you serve thine enemy, which Yahweh shall send against you, in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon your neck till he have destroyed you.
So you're going to serve your enemies. Now who is he saying? Who are you saying to you're going to serve? Who's the enemy you're going to serve? You said you're going to serve your enemy, right? So that means if you're going to serve your enemy, that so we'll put a yoke of iron on your neck and move you from cargo to cargo, from ships with yokes of iron on you, and sold you. That is your enemy, according to Bible. He said, that's what you're going to serve. Now, let's see. But your parents have been saved for 30, 40 years. Now let's precept that, Mother Day of Israel, to Luke chapter 1, verse 68. And let's read till we get our point. Now you say, now, wait a minute. So if you serving your enemy, that means you're not saved. You're not saved until you're not serving your enemy. So that's when you're saved, when you're not saving your enemy. That means when you not have to dance to your enemy's music. This month, the enemy won't light, gas, rent, house, property taxes, pay for the mortgage. That's when you say, when you don't have to do that. On a land that was already yours, that's when you saved. But you saying, the preacher saying, how long you been saved, a bishop? Oh, I've been saved for 40 years. See this? But now you find out what the Bible's saying being saved is. Luke 1:68. Let's read a little bit, Mother D of Israel.
Luke chapter 1, verse 68. Blessed be Yahweh, Yahweh of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, 69, and has raised up an horn of salvation for us in the family of his servant David. Verse 70. As he spake by the mouth of all his righteous seal, which have been since the world began, 71, that we should be saved from our enemy.
Wait a minute. We got to be saved. When will we be saved? In verse 71? What do we say here?
Verse 71. That we shall be saved from our enemy and from the hands of all that hate us.
And to do what?
Verse 72.
Yeah, to do what?
Verse 72. To perform the mercy promised to our Father and to remember his righteous covenant.
Oh. So that's where your mama and Aunt Willie Mae, they not saved until you saved from your enemies.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't tell nobody they saved and you still got pay wallaby. You mm-hmm. You're not gonna be saved from your enemies until your enemy be put in a position they put you in, you put them in, according to the book.
Mm-hmm.
So when you hear them say, well, how long you been saved? I've been saved the last, my mama been saved for 50 years. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
What they praying for their mama and us to be saved from our enemies. And so we can perform the covenant. Are we performing the covenant now in the Catholic Church, Baptist Church? Where else we perform the covenant at? But you know what the covenant is? Let's see what the covenant is. That we got to read the covenant. Come on, Detroit. Let's go to Jeremiah 31. Let's find out about this covenant that we got to be saved. You know? And I don't know if we're doing it. Going to Jeremiah 31:31-37, Detroit. Jeremiah 31. Take it from 31-37.
Jeremiah 31, verse 31-37.
Yep.
Verse 31, behold, the days come with Yahweh that I will make a new covenant with the family of Israel and with the family of Yakta Judah. Verse 33, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Mizraim, Egypt being polluted, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith Yahweh. Verse 33, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with the family of Israel. After those days, saith Yahweh, I will put my Torah instructions in their inward parts and write it in their minds, and will be their Yahweh, and they shall be my people. Verse 34, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know Yahweh, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith Yahweh, and I will forgive their iniquities. I will remember their transgressions no more. Verse 35, thus says Yahweh.
Hold that point. What iniquity, transgression means sin. I will remember their sin no more. I will remember their sin no more. So transgression, iniquity, all adds up to one word, sin no more. I'm not going to remember their sin no more. And mother, back up. Let's find out the definition of sin one more time. Mother Eve, let's back up to St. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, 8 and 10. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, skip down to 8 and 10. He said, I remember their sin no more. What is the biblical definition for sin no more? That means once they come back to what the Bible is saying, then you got the door open for repentance. Then I remember your sin no more. What's the definition of sin, Mother E? 3, 4. Let's get down to 8 and 10.
The book of 1 John, chapter 3, verse 4, verse 8, and verse 10. Verse 4, whosoever committed sin transgressed also the Torah instruction. For sin is the transgression of the Torah instruction.
Verse sin 8. Is the breaking the first five books. So do you want to know if you sin it? Then look in the first five books and see if you applying anything that the first five books take. The first five books even got a dress code for the children of Israel. That means fringes. So what in the first five books are you covering for your sins to be blotted out? Verse 8.
Verse 8. First John chapter 3, verse 8. He that committed sin is the devil. For the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of Yahweh was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And this, the children of Yahweh.
You're in the wrong book. I'm in the wrong book.
Hold on, mother. Start all over again on verse number 10 again.
First John chapter 3, verse 10. And then the children of Yahweh are manifested, and the children of the devil, whosoever doeth not righteousness, is not of Yahweh, neither he that loveth not his brother.
You see that? So now you can examine yourself. Are you sinning? How you know you sinning? Do you keep what day you go to worship on? Well, I go to worship on Sunday. Well, you sinning. The Bible worship day is Saturday. When the sun goes out on Friday, could the sun go out on Saturday? Okay. So examine yourself. Are you sinning? He got what he called holy days, Leviticus 23. Holy Leviticus 23. Do you keep any of his feast days in Leviticus 23? No. You keep Christmas, Easter, Thanksgiving, and New Year. Are you sinning? Yes. He tell you about the dress code. You're supposed to have fringes on every time you step out. Do you have fringes on? Where that at? Where can I read the book of WCC? Where can I read that at? Back up, Molly, to the 15th chapter, verse 37. And let's show you what he tells the children of Israel. See, once you recognize you're not African American, Negro color, you're not Christian, you're not black, then you better see yourself more plainly in the book. Detroit, read 111 verse 10 real quick, a song. Then when you read your Bible with the 111 verse 10 in your brain, Psalms 111 verse 10.
Psalms.
111 verse 10.
111 verse 10. The fear of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his Torah instructions.
So you're not going to get a good understanding. You're not going to get a good understanding until you understand that the first five books stand today. You're not going to get an understanding of this Bible. You're going to see things totally opposite of what the Bible says. Read what the Psalm said in Proverbs 9, verse 10 at the chart. Proverbs 9, verse 10. So the only way you can get an understanding of it, you got to first understand the rules and regulation that he got written in his book. And the rules and regulation is you keeping what he got rent. And once you find out you're not keeping, the door is open for repentance. But if you don't repent, then you're going to remain on what you're doing. So you'll never really understand the book. And when somebody that's from the six anointed camps of boys and other children like walk upon you, you will have no answer. Because you're not going to remember what your pastor said, but they're going to remember what the book said. See? We're going to remember what the book said. You're going to remember what your pastor said. See? And that's the difference. So you got to get yourself prepared on what the Bible says, not what your pastor says. Read it. Proverbs 9, verse 10. The chart, read it.
Proverbs 9, verse 10. The fear of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the righteous is understanding.
You see that? And the knowledge of the righteous is understanding. What is the biblical definition for righteousness? Now run to Deuteronomy 6:25, Detroit. 6:25, get the answer to that. So now you say you're righteous. Okay, let's see what the Bible tells you, the biblical definition for being righteous. 6:25, read it.
Deuteronomy 6:25. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these Torah instructions before Yahweh our Yahweh, as he has commanded us.
So the commandment is to be righteous, but only when you can be righteous, you got to follow his steps on what he did. He kept the Sabbath day. You're keeping the first day of the week. Look on your calendar and you'll see. Monday all the way over to Sunday. Sunday is the first day of the week. Bag on one day, Saturday, is the seventh day of the week. Which one do you keep the worship on? You can ask your smartphone, what day is Sunday? If Sunday is the first day of the week, what day he tell you the best day is? The seventh day of the week. What day are you keeping? The first day of the week. So how you get blessed? Imagine you being a bus driver and you give it a bus. And they give you your route to ride down, let me see, Western. But all of a sudden, you're going to take your bus, and you're going to go down day. How long you think you'll keep that job? And they give you a route. They might let you have one mistake on. I'll tell you what. You ran that bus all down street that your route don't even cover. How long you think you gonna keep your job? By being good, you was good. You ran the route, but it was the wrong route. And that's the same thing we doing today. We're making all the effort to get you to Baptist, Catholic churches, but we're doing everything wrong. We on the wrong day, and everything the Bible been told is done away with. All we gotta do is keep you two. And the two still pointed back. You hang all over two. Yeah, the two is love your mighty one. But loving him is keeping the Torah instruction. First five books. And love your neighbor as yourself. You're talking about your people. The one you call African American and Negro. Because if you love your people, you won't be pulling no bang on them and say, hey, I got the bang on you now. Give it up. If you love your people as yourself. See, that's what he's talking about. And that's what these preachers are supposed to be teaching. The ways of the Bible, and it can pull you out of all the trouble you in today once you understand who you really are and all these curses is on you for disobeying what you agreed to do. We're going to stop it for a minute right here. We got to bring the mother in. We got to bring our mother in. And one of the mothers out of Camp 1 is going to talk to this national audience. 195 international country on the network. 162-627 flashing. So We're going to bring you on the mothers and she's going to talk to you. And then we'll come right back with the elder for his closing statement and we'll come back and finish up. She's going to go find Mother Z. And she got a message for this national audience. And would you listen to it? It's to your advantage to listen. Because once your elder man and woman speak, it's to your advantage to listen. You learn a lot. Mother Z, out of tribe of Yahweh Judah, Yahweh bid you say right.
Yahweh bless and keep you, seal Israel, a royal seed. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. Now, we got a packed audience. I mean, people's all over the known world. They listen everywhere. Now, we know that the Almighty don't put on you something to get in that microphone and tell them something. What do you want to tell this national audience on tape number 59? Come on.
Well, I would just like to read to the national audience tonight. I'm going to Psalms 119, and I'm going to start reading at verse 33. And it reads, "Order my steps in thy word, and lead me not any iniquity, political sin. Have dominion over me." Verse 134. "Deliver me from the oppressed of men, so will I keep thy precept." Verse 35. Verse 119:35. "Make my face to shine upon thy salvation, and teach me thy statutes." Verse 36, reveal a water running down my eyes because not the Torah instruction. And I'm going to go read some about the commandments in Matthew. And that right there I just read, well, the words speak for itself. All Israel need for Yahweh to order their steps in his word, because we need to know his word and learn to live by. And I'm going to Matthew, the 16th chapter, and I'm going to start reading at verse 24. At verse 24, "And when they will come," is that the right thing? "And when they will come to," I can't say that word, "they had received tithes, money, coming to Peter and said, do not eat," oh, that's the wrong chapter. I don't know how I got mixed up. But anyway, I'm just going to read this. said, "Do not eat, Master, pay tithes." In verse 25, he said, "Yea, and when he will come into the temple of Yahweh, prevaileth him, said, what things thou, Simon, of whom do the king of the earth take," I don't know that word, "of tithes from thy own, and I'm going to stop right there because I got mixed up and I'm not reading the right chapter. And I'm just going to say, hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
All right, then, one thing about it, Mother Z, one thing about it, you step on the curtain hair went up, you'll come on the stage. That's one thing about it, and that's the key. We got to step forward and come on the stage and take care of this man's business. So we'll bring our elder back in and close the statements, and then we'll come right back and wrap this broadcast over with shortly. We'll bring the elder back in one more time and get his closing remarks on tape number 59, And then we'll come right back and wrap up the ball game and get ready for the another ball game. Elmer Tibbs, 10 o'clock. What W saying, WCC? Well, Senior, you don't make it too plain. We just going to mute Mr. Tibbs. Go back to the teaching. Oh, okay, well, you do what you want to do. You're ready to say. Okay, so now, so we found out, mothers, we found out one thing, that we going to have to be in the classrooms when the new students come in all over the country. That's why we talked about the land, school, the banquet hall. 12 rooms, because the 12 tribes of Israel. But you have to have 24 teachers. And the teachers must know how to go into the Bible, because all of their minds going to be told one thing, but when you go in the Bible, it's going to be told a different. Now let's come back. Let's come right back, Mother, D up Israel. We come right back and show you what it, another place they're going to go. They're going to trap you up. And they're going to deliver you up real good, because you're not going to have answers. But we're going to show you how to prepare yourself for it by going to Galatians chapter 3 and look what it says in verse 8 and 14. This is going to go and beat you. They're going to go and drop this on you, and you're going to be stuck. But we're going to show you when it come up how to get in and get out. Galatians chapter 3 and 14. Come on, Mama.
Galatians chapter 3, verses 8 and 14. Verse 8. And the scriptures, foreseeing that Yahweh would justify the nations through.
Read where you see it. Read where you see it. This is where they're going. See, you got to read where you see it. This is where they're going to bring it to your classroom. So the way you see it, this is the way they're going to read it to you. You got to let them read it to you that way, then get busy on it. 3, 8, and 14. This is what they're going to bring. This is their strength. They're going to bring their strength to your classroom. 3, 8, and 14. What's that?
Galatians chapter 3, verses 8 and verse 14. Verse 8, and the scriptures foreseeing that Yahweh will justify the heathen through faith, preaching before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, and you and these shall all nations be blessed. Verse 14. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Yahweh the Son, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith.
Okay. Now look what you heard. Now you heard the word called heathen and Gentile. Heathen,
yes,
and Gentile is an interchangeable word. That's all that means. A heathen, a Gentile, interchangeable. You get this is where they're gonna go and drop this on you. Okay, if you say we're heathen, okay, fine. But we got the same blessing that we do right. And 14, if we call Gentiles, okay, fine. It is right there, 8 and 14. Heathen and Gentile. Now, let's see what is he talking about. Because this is what they're gonna bring to the table. The heathen, the Gentile. Read verse 8 again. Now, I want to hear the word called heathen and read verse 14. And it talks about Abraham's seed, the Gentile. So now I want to bring it back out one more time. Come on.
Galatians chapter 3, verses 8. And the scriptures foreseeing that Yahweh would justify the heathen through faith, preaching before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, and these shall all nations be blessed. Verse 14, that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Yahweh the Son, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith.
That's it. So now, the Gentiles, the heathen, all they got to believe and have faith in the mighty one, and he'll justify. Guess what? They're going to drop this verse on you. Now, if you're a teacher or you're in a classroom and when these words are dropped on you, you're stuck again. You know why you're stuck? Huh? Because they're going to bring their A game and they're going to drop this on you, 8-14. You're going to be stuck. Read verse 3:8 again. Listen, 3:8.
Galatians chapter 3, verse 8. And the scriptures foreseeing that Yahweh would justify the heathen through faith, preaching before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, and these shall all nations be blessed. Verse 14. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Yahweh the Son, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith.
You see that? So the Gentiles can, according to what we just got to read, the Gentiles, they take an opportunity. You know? But now we're going to find out exactly who these heathen and who these Gentiles you're talking about. See? So now you got to go back in the book. Remember one thing. When the Gentiles and the heathen, now we got to find out what you're talking about. Let's go to and read the way you see it. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1. Now remember, the topic we're talking about is the Gentile and the heathen, which is an interchangeable word. A Gentile is a heathen. A heathen is a Gentile. Let's find out some more. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1.
1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the church of Galatians, even so do you.
Yeah. Look what you're about. This is talking about a collection of the church, which is the church. It's already been told in advance in the lesson. When you see the word church, it means a whole congregation of the children of Israel. So the saints he's talking about here is the saints in 148 verse 14. But when you see the word church, you have to, right behind it, bring in the whole congregation of the children of Israel. This is where you're teaching. Because it's going to come up. So you read in Galatians about these Gentiles and these heathen, but you talk about it, the ones in Galatians. And now you just found out the ones in Galatians is the whole congregation of the children of Israel. And now we found out what the word saint means in 148 verse 14. See, this is how you have to have a more grasp of teaching. Because all this going to come up, they're going to show you, so we a heathen, so we a Gentile. That don't mean we ain't got the same blessing coming. but you find out right now, you come out the wall, that story was told to the one that was in Galatia. And we just found the ones in Galatia was the same. And the church is the whole congregation of the children of Israel. And that's why we broke the word down, church, in advance before we got here. See? So now, 148 verse 14. Who is the saint?
Read it. Psalms 148 verse 14. He also exalted the horns of his people, the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise you, Yahweh.
So the saints is the children of Israel again. See that? So the one that was over in Galatia, he was talking about the scattered Israelites that was in Galatia, and Paul and William went on to them, to the saints. the saints is the children of Israel. 149 verse 1, Mother Eve. 149 verse 1, Mother Eve.
Mm.
Pick that up, the chart. 149 verse 1.
Psalms 149. What verse?
Verse 1.
Psalms 149 verse 1. Praise ye Yahuwah. Sing unto Yahuwah a new song and his praise in the congregation of the saints, the children of Israel.
So, you see, so when you're reading the word called the saints, you're talking about the children of Israel. When you read the word church, Paul is going to visit the church, which is the children of Israel. So when you jump down and read about the Gentiles, that Paul is saying, you read, well, you're going to be justified through Abraham, the saints, or the Gentiles and the heathen, you're talking about the children of Israel. Now, we're going to prove that by going to the chart. Try to hold on to this chart. Try to hold on two more minutes. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 32. And Mother be up Israel, and he's sacking the other 233 waiting on. Ezekiel 20. Speaking of verse 32.
Ezekiel 20.
Pick up verse 32.
Ezekiel 20. Verse 32. And it reads, Ezekiel 20, verse 32. And that which cometh into your mind shall not be at all that ye say, We will be as the children of Israel, as the families of...
Hold on, Detroit. Read what you see. We teach you something.
And that which cometh into your mind shall not be at all.
Mother
D of
Israel, read that verse.
I know she's in Ezekiel, but I don't know what chapter.
Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 32.
Ezekiel 20? Okay.
Ezekiel verse 32.
Okay. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 32. Verse 32 reads, and that which cometh into your mind shall not be at all that you say, we will be as the nation, the heathen, as the families of the countries to serve wood and stone.
Mm-hmm. Good. Wood is Christianity. Stone is Islam. He said, you're not going to be as the heathen. He said, you ain't going to be like the heathen. Serve wood and stone.
Mm-hmm.
You go to a place you see a cross at that made by wood. He said, you ain't going to be like that. You go to Islam where they got to worship the rock. He said, you ain't going to be like that. Now, who's the you? He said, he calling, you ain't going to be as the heathen to do such a thing like that. Now, who's he calling? Now, who's he telling this to that you ain't going to be like that? Now, we got to get a name on who he talking about ain't going to be like that. That will be going to get. We don't see him get a name. He letting you know off the top, you ain't going to be like that. Let's see who he's talking about that we can read. He said, you're not going to be where you worshiping the cross and the rock. You ain't going to be like that.
Mm-hmm.
Who is he talking about that we can read ain't going to be like that, verse 42?
Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 42.
Well, read verse 40, get warm. Read verse 40 and 42. By fact, make it sound good. Read 39, 40, and 42. Make it sound good. 39, 40, and 42. Who is he telling is not going to be like the heathen? You're not going to be like the heathen worshiping wood, which is a cross, stone, which is Islam, the rock. He said, you ain't going to be like that, but who's you he telling this to? 39,
40, 42. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 39, 40, and 42, verse 39. As for you, O family of Israel, thus says Yahweh, go you, serve you everyone his idol, and hereafter also, if you will not hearken, listen unto me, but pollute you my righteous name no more with your gifts and with your idols. Verse 40. For in my righteous mountain and the mountain of the heights of Israel, says Yahweh, there shall all the families of Israel, all of them in the land, serve me. There will I accept them, and there will I require your offerings and the first fruits of your oblation with all your righteous things. Verse 42. And you shall know that I am Yahweh when I shall bring you into the land of Israel, into the countries for thee which I lift up my hand to give it to your father.
So he's saying you Israel, you're the one that's called African American, Negro, and Cup.
Mm-hmm.
The little ain't gonna wake up and see that you can't continue to go on to places that got the cross, Christianity. Go on to places that got the rock, Islam. Go on to place of Judaism, five-party star. He said, all that, you're going to drop it down and walk away from it. And you're going to recognize that you are a member of the 12 tribes of Israel, and that's not for you to be doing. Soon later, you're going to recognize that. Now, let's go to 2 Ezra 2:33 now. Now, listen who he calling that once you take on that barrel, let's see who he calling, you can be that same thing too. But listen to this. 2 Ezra 2:33.
2 Ezra chapter 2, verse 33. I, Ezra, received a charge of Yahweh upon Mount Horeb that I should go unto Israel. But when I came unto them, they set me at naught and despised the Torah instructions of Yahweh.
Read that again.
2 Ezra chapter 2, verse 33. I, Ezra, received a charge of Yahweh up on Mount Horeb that I should go unto Israel. But when I came unto them, they set me at naught and despised the Torah instruction of Yahweh.
Mm-hmm. Is it in Motet, next verse?
34.
Is that what it say?
34. And therefore I said unto you, O you heathens that
what he called the children of Israel that do not keep the Torah instruction, the first five books. Now this is called the whole Southern Kingdom. So when you in the Christian church, the Baptist church, the Episcopalian church, and you not following, and you Israel, when you don't keep the Torah instruction, what are you called according to the Almighty? What you call?
A heathen.
That's what you are, a heathen. So when you're not keeping the dietary law, when you're not wearing your fringes, when you're not keeping his feast days as written, when you're going on the wrong day, calling on the wrong name, he said, when I bought him the first five books of understanding, he said they rejected them. Who? The children of Israel. And then he told you, once you do not keep the Torah instruction, although you appeal to the book, but you have put yourself in what kind of class? Call you what?
A heathen.
And the heathen is interchangeable with what word that you read in 8 and 14, the third chapter of Galatians. What word is heathen is an interchangeable word to what word?
Gentile.
So when you're not keeping the Torah instruction, you are an Israelite Gentile. So you can be a Gentile when you walk away from keeping what he got written. You're not following his steps. So when you're not following his steps yet, you can be a Gentile because you're following your preacher on the wrong day and you have nothing. And when we read Numbers 15:37, you don't even have a sign. Come on, let's see what it's saying. Mother.
Numbers 15.
And the chart. Second book, 1 John 2. Have me 3 down to verse 8. Wait, no. 1 John chapter 2, 3 to verse 8. Read the Numbers 15:37 down to 40.
Numbers chapter 15, verse 37 to 40. Verse 37. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, verse 38, speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generation, and that they put upon the fringes of the borders a ribbon of blue, 39. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that you may look upon it and remember all the Torah instructions of Yahweh and do them, and that you seek not after your own mind and your own eyes, after which you used to go whoring. Verse 40, that you may remember and do all my Torah instruction and be righteous unto your Yahweh.
Yeah. So that's the reason you see you wear fringes. The fringes is a reminder that Yahweh said, you following my rules. My remember, all the nations at one time had color. You don't have the different race until 25-25. When you had another race came out of two black parents called the white man and the white woman. But before that, everybody looked like each other. But when you came out of Egypt, you looked just like them because you had your miniskirts on and everything else. But he gave you a dress code.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know you by your skin color. I know you by your action when I see the fringes on you, then I know you Israel. See, the Israelites wore the fringes. The other nation does what they do today. See? That's how you know the tree is between you. When you got the fringes on, then I recognize that's one of my children. They honored me. So when they get a little tight, I got to respond like a parent will respond. When they babies in the crib crying, you can recognize your baby crying. I'm going to see what my baby needs. And that's what he's saying by you having your fringes on. Yeah? I hear you better because you're doing what I tell you to do, and you do what I tell you to do, you'll be rewarded. Now, it's a choice. Let's run over here and look at, let's go on there and take a little peep at 1 John 2, 3 down to verse 8. We're going to look at what is written in 1 John chapter 2, 3 down to verse 8. What does it say there in a closing statement behind this?
1 John 2, verse 3 to 8, verse 3. And hereby we know that we know him if we keep the Torah instructions. Verse 4, he that saith I know him and keepeth not the Torah instructions is a liar, and the truth not in him. Verse 5, but whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of Yahuwah perfected. Hereby now we know that we are in him. Verse 6, he saith, he abideth in him, ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Verse 7, brethren, I write no new Torah instructions unto you, but an old Torah instructions which ye had from the beginning. The old Torah instructions is the word which we have heard from the beginning. Verse 8. Again, a new Torah instructions I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth.
Mm-hmm. So, otherwise, there's no such thing as no New Testament. Everything is one collection of books.
Mm-hmm.
When you say you are new this or old this, I'm an Old Testament, New Testament, no, no, no. What I'm telling you, you go right back in the beginning and find out exactly what to do today by looking back from Malachi back to Genesis on what to do today to please your body war. When the preachers tell you, you ain't got to keep no more law. All you got to do is love and love him. But we find out that is an error because it's all wrong. Yeah, you love him by doing what he got written. And you love your brother that's the children of Israel, and you won't be putting a bang on him when you see him coming out the currency chain with his check in his pocket. Because you love him as yourself. See? That's what that means. Now you can hang all two on that. That's what it means. So you got to be to deal with it because it's going to come up in your classrooms. But you can't get all rattled and got no answers. That means you didn't study. But we got to try you, and we got to try you, see if you're worthy to be put in that position. All the six anointed counselors will be watching you on that position. And we don't want to see you fumbling around with it when it's time to deliver. Because the Almighty gonna bless us when we got his word right according to the way he got it written. Detroit, Michigan, California, you got to close the statement. Come on.
Israel, hear the word. Do the word. Teach the word. Alleluia, qua. Alleluia, qua. Alleluia, qua.
Excellent. That's California, Georgia, Michigan. That's about D up Israel. Now back up to Genesis and see what was in the beginning that he otherwise, what was told in the beginning and the second chapter of Genesis 1, 2, and 3. He said, I ain't writing on you nothing that you can't go back and read. He said, everything is nothing new. It's everything pointing back. So what's pointing back in Genesis 2, 1, 2, and 3? What's pointing back that we can read?
Genesis chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. Verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. Verse 2. And on the seventh day, Yahweh ended his work, which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made. Verse 3. And Yahweh blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his works, which Yahweh created and made.
So what day is the blessed day? And you tell me the churches you go to today, how many keep the Sabbath day? The Sabbath day is the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day is not kept in a Christian church. All the rest of them is an offshoot of a Christian church, a Baptist church, the Pentecostal church, even the Six-Pointed Star church. All of them points right back to keeping Sunday. Okay, well, some of them might say, well, I keep Sabbath, but do you keep Christmas? Do you keep Easter? Give me New Year? You still eat that hog, ain't you? So what you doing that support you having any contact with him? Do you know what he says in 28 verse 9? You got to tell your preacher. Preacher, how has you got this contact with him? And according to this Bible, we on the wrong day. What does it say in 28 verse 9 of the book of Proverbs? What does it say there, Mother E? Mother D. F. Israel?
Proverbs 28, verse 9. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the Torah instruction, even his prayer shall be abomination.
Is that? So you can do all the praying you want, and you're not preacher. You're messing your congregation up. You're on the wrong day. He said, your prayer to him is an abomination to him. Now, Mother E, at 9:31, Mother E, the closing statement says what? St. John 9:31, Mother E, 9:31, the closing statement says what? St. John 9:31, Mother E.
He's not on the air to you.
Okay. All right. Oh, okay. Well, all right. So, Mother D.F. Israel.
Yeah.
Give me 9:31 in a closing statement of St. John, 9:31. Remember one thing, back to railway tomorrow, same time, 6 p.m. 9 p.m. So keep this in your mind. It's time for you to help yourself and your loved ones. The only way you help your loved ones, if you see your loved ones in danger, don't you try to come and help them? You in danger of hellfire by keeping anything contrary to the Bible. The Sunday is the wrong day. You've been taught that by your enemies. As long as you keep breaking these days, you would not have a blessing of the Bible. You got a blessing of the world. 9:31 says what?
St. John chapter 9, verse 31. Now we know that Yahweh hears not sinners, but if any man or woman be a worshiper of Yahweh and doeth his will, him he heareth.
Okay, now what is the center one more time in 3 verse 4 to close the statement? And we'll catch you all tomorrow night. What's up, hope? At 6 p.m.? And how you know you a center? First John 3, verse 4, the closest day to that, Mother Eve.
First John, chapter 3.
Verse 4.
Okay. First John, chapter 3. Whosoever commits sin transgresses also the Torah instruction, for sin is the transgression of the Torah instruction.
Sin is the breaking of the 35 books. He tell you Sabbath day is when the sun go down Friday, sun go down Saturday. If you go on to worship him on the first day of the week, Sunday, you sin it.